Woo, King Jesus. Yes. Today we're going to talk about the teachings of King Jesus. Now, before I do that, though, I want to take a minute to recognize some people that are here. Hopefully here, there was a lot of them in first service. But if you are a teacher this morning, all right, if you teach in public school or private school, homeschool, if you teach here on our campus to some of our kids, maybe as a youth leader or something like that, or maybe you've been a teacher in the past, I'd just like our teachers to stand this morning. I want to recognize you, give you some applause. Let's see our teachers today. Yes. We're so grateful, yes, for your investment. I know we have a lot of school administrators and things as well. In fact, this is a great time of year because in Hernando County and around our state, there's a lot of recognition going around for teachers of the year. And it's just cool to kind of see, you know, some of my friends who have been nominated and won and things like that all over the place. And in fact, this Hernando County Teacher of the Year is one of our former members who's now at Go Church. His name is Justin Early. So if you know Jay Early, yeah, pretty cool. And I may have mentioned this before, but teachers are real special, not just because of the investment that you make in others and in our kids, but because, frankly, I'm here because of teachers, and so are some of you. We have a lot to be grateful for. I may have mentioned this before, but my favorite grade growing up was third grade, and my favorite teacher was Mr. Johnson. Now, this is Mr. Johnson here in his turtleneck sweater, rocking his turtleneck. It's pretty chilly out there. Anybody rocking a turtleneck these days? All right, got a couple out here. Now, I don't know how this all started with the whole apple thing, but if I had to give an apple to a teacher growing up, the best teacher, it would be Mr. Johnson. He would teach us great lessons. Like, I'm pretty sure that my love for reading came in third grade. I probably read more books in third grade than I've read ever since, actually. He would teach us, you know, to kind of like coming to school, and I might have mentioned this as well, but he taught us what happens to a tooth when you drop it into a glass of Pepsi over the course of a week. It's not pretty, all right? Mr. Johnson, he just kind of left really an impression on me. Now, I went to school, and you may mention, this is actually my third grade class, and as you can tell, the best student in the class actually got his picture in color, all right? Or it could be Photoshopped, I don't know which, all right? Yeah, that's me in third grade. Yeah. Anyway, I went to school in Illinois, all right? And I don't know if any of y'all grew up north, but right up around Chicago. And I don't know if you know this or not, but it's cold up there, all right? My wife is up there right now in Indiana. Actually, she called me, said it's like 10 degrees and everything froze. And side subject altogether, but she tried to walk our dog Maddie last night and her paws froze just like that, all right? And I was like, well, don't do that anymore. You know, like, but who grew up north? Your paws do freeze. And I got to tell you, in Illinois in the winter, we had to walk to school 2 miles in the snow, uphill. Thank you, Richard. Both ways, all right? Actually, that is true, all except for the both ways part. But and we would get to school, and I remember this specifically in elementary school, where you walk in the door, usually to the right, there was a place for all of the coats. You guys might remember this if you grew up there. All the coats and all the boots and the mittens and scarves and things, they all hung on the wall, and then you could kind of go on into your day, and everything was indoors. So, you know, that's kind of how it happened. And it reminded me of a story of a little boy in kindergarten and the kindergarten teacher. And I'm just going to, I'm going to call her Miss Apple, all right? Kindergarten teacher, Miss Apple, and little Johnny. Now, the end of a long day of school, and all the boots and coats and things are hanging up, and it's time to go home. And Miss Apple understands Johnny's going to have a hard time getting his boots on and off just about every day. So it's the end of the day, and sure enough, he goes and sits down. He's having trouble, so she goes over to help him out. And it is work. Like, she's already working up a sweat just getting one boot on. I mean, she's pulling, and he's pushing and pulling and pushing. Finally, the one boot goes on. Then the other boot goes on. Whew. Finally, work is done. Johnny looks up at her and says, Miss Apple, boots are on the wrong feet. Okay. Just as much work pulling them off. Boom, pulling, pushing, one boot off, put them on the right feet, one boot on, one boot off, working up a sweat, taking a deep breath. Okay, good. They're on the right feet, ready to go home. Miss Apple, these aren't my boots. Seriously? Not your boots. All right, so she pulls, again, working hard, pulls the one boot off, pulls the other boot off. Finally done, takes a deep breath. All right, Johnny, where are your boots? Oh, well, those are my brother's boots. My mom made me wear them to school today. Now, again, I'm pretty sure it was a prayer, but I'm not real sure what Miss Apple says at this point. Takes a deep breath, bites her tongue, patience of a saint. All right, takes the boots off, or puts the boot back on. One, finally, gets it back on, right boot, left boot, pushing, pulling, works up a sweat. She's ready to go home, but she knows this is it. Gonna send him home with the right boots on. Everything's set, everything's done. Johnny's got his boots on, ready to go home. Reaches over for his coat. Man, it's like, all right, it's going to be cold outside. Grabs his coat, grabs his scarf, goes for his mittens. Johnny, where's your mittens? Oh, they're in the toes of my boots. That's where I keep them so they don't get lost. Look, being a teacher has its challenges. Being a teacher can be hard sometimes. It's a lot of work, but praise God for teachers, like Mr. Johnson and others who have come and gone in my life and who have made a difference in yours as well. We've all had great teachers and great teaching in our life, but the truth is, even great teachers and teaching can be wrong, and even the great teachers, the great ones that get the apples, the best teachers with the right teaching can fall short sometimes. There's only been one teacher in all of history who ever lived who was always perfect and who was always right and always true. And his name was Jesus, King Jesus. Now, so far in our King Jesus series, we've seen how all of history has pointed to Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of Kings. We've looked at how his birth and his baptism and his temptation in the desert all confirm that he is the King of Kings. And then last week, we saw how Jesus' power over creation, over nature, over disease, and even death, how the miracles of Jesus prove that he is God in the flesh. We looked at the miracles of the King. And today, we're going to look at the teachings of the King. And this began all the way back when Jesus was 12 years old. Luke tells us that ever since he was a boy, all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And his entire life was a lesson for all of mankind to learn, right from the beginning to the right to the end. In fact, near the end of his life, in John chapter 13, John says, records the words of Jesus. He says, "You call me teacher," Jesus says. "Call me teacher and Lord. And rightly so, for that is what I am, teacher and Lord." Now I want you to think about that. Because if Mr. Johnson had stood up in front of his third grade class all those years ago and said, "I know y'all think I'm a great teacher, but there's something else you need to know about me. I'm also God." That probably would have gotten, like, you can't be a great teacher and say that you are God at the same time unless you're lying or unless you're crazy. Jesus is making a very bold statement here. And based on what we learned last week about his miracles, his power, what he did that God could only do, we know that what he is saying here is true. And he says that it's true. "You call me teacher, yes, and Lord, yes, it's rightly so, because that is what I am." And indeed, yes, the teachings of Jesus show him to be the King of Kings. You see, when we read the teaching of Jesus, we read the teaching of God. When we read the teaching of Jesus, we read the teaching of God. And today, Today, I hope that we will see and fall in love with his teaching, with those red letter words in our Bibles. I pray that we'll just leave here ready to sit at the feet of the King of Kings and learn from him. And not just learn from him, but then leave to do what he says to do. Because when we learn and live the teaching of the King, it can and it will change us from the inside out. It'll change everything about us, our character. It'll change our families. It'll change our church as we live this out and send a ripple effect into our community, into the people that you know and love, and even into our world. So for the next few minutes, I just want to take a look at King Jesus. He gets the apple. Not only is he the best teacher, but he is the greatest teacher who ever lived. King Jesus, the greatest teacher ever. You know, Jesus was called teacher 45 times in the documentary accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And his words, the words that he taught, were called teaching another 45 times. Now, he's called rabbi. And when Jesus spoke, he attracted crowds of thousands. I mean, they came to see him. But he also taught one-on-one. He taught his 12 closest friends. We called them disciples. He called them disciples. And he also taught those who would go on to kill him. Jesus taught people of all backgrounds, all ages, young and old alike. He taught men and women, scholars, and those who were uneducated. He taught people who would follow him all over the place for miles and miles, and they would learn life-changing lessons from Jesus that have lived on for centuries. In fact, historians, Christians, teachers of all religions, and even atheists cannot deny that Jesus was a great teacher whose words have impacted and influenced the world, history, like none other. Jesus taught primarily two different ways. He gave us sermons and he gave us parables, sermons and parables. When it came to sermons, he gave us about 36 different sermons that are recorded in our Bibles. Now, these are clearly understandable lessons about man's spiritual relationship with God and the kingdom of God. Sermons. He also teaches with parables. He gives us about 57 different parables. These weren't as easy to understand. They had to be figured out a little bit. But they're stories and illustrations that use examples from the world around us to explain spiritual matters. One example that comes to mind is in Luke chapter 15. In Luke 15, Jesus describes a lost sheep that is found and a lost coin that is found and celebrated, and then a son who is lost and runs away from home and a father who welcomes him home when he finally returns. And Jesus uses these examples to show that God truly does love unconditionally and that he wants everyone to be found and everyone to be saved, and there's celebration when that happens and welcomed home when they wander away. It's parables. They're awesome. They're amazing. And next month, we start this new this sub-series called The King Who Gives. And you need to be here. We're going to look in depth at four different parables of Jesus during that series. Don't miss that. Now, whether it was a sermon or a parable, remember that Jesus was teaching a first century audience. So for us today, all these years later, it's always important to read and understand his words in context. See what's going on around the teaching, before, during, and after. Take time and the energy to understand what's going on, the time, the place, the people that he's talking to, the motive for each of his teaching. And as he teaches, it's important that we use common sense when we're reading it. For example, there's time where Jesus will use, he says that if your hand causes you to sin, to cut it off. Okay, we're going to use common sense here. Was he talking literally or giving us an example, all right? Because if he was talking literally, then we're going to need more ushers to help us out of our cars and in the doors in the morning, all right? To understand. When we see the teaching of Jesus, it's genius. And he uses examples like that to make points. We see his methods. We see his content. We see his results. And he is just amazing. I'll go all the way back, the book of Mark, chapter 1, right at the beginning of his ministry. We just read this Wednesday night in our study. It said, Jesus went into the synagogue where people were learning, went into the synagogue and began to teach. And Mark says the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as teachers of the law. So with amazing authority, Jesus uses these amazing methods. He gives us stories. He loved to tell stories. He gives us hands-on training and object lessons. Like we just experienced just a few moments ago, we take the Lord's Supper. That was an object lesson of Jesus, the bread and the juice, washing feet. He used relatable examples that the people of his time, and we can even understand, farms and fish, pearls and trees, and characters like Good Samaritans. He teaches by asking questions over and over again. He loved to ask questions, and he caught people's attention with shock. It's called hyperbole or exaggeration, kind of like that, you know, cut your hand off thing. Like, what did he just say? Or casting mountains. We just sang this, cast mountains into the sea. And like all good teachers, Jesus used repetition. He especially liked repetition when talking about his death and his burial and his resurrection. He teaches lessons over again. He wasn't afraid of conflict or controversy, and he even used humor and puns. You just picture as he's teaching about a log in a person's eye. I mean, it's kind of funny to think about, you know, walking around with a log in your eye. It's a lesson of Jesus. Take that log out of your eye before, you know, you worry about the speck in someone else's eye. He used examples like a camel, a giant camel going through the eye of a needle. He loved to just kind of mix it up like that. And long before sound systems and video streams and PowerPoint and Twitter, Jesus used statements, these memorable, tweetable statements that all of us remember. They've been etched in our hearts for over 20 centuries. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you, yes. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Yet these statements of Jesus that are just so memorable. And he continually astonished his audience. And this word is used a lot, the word astonished. It's used with the scribes and the Pharisees who heard him, religious leaders, even temple guards in John chapter 7 said that he astonished them. And he astonished them not only with how he taught, his methods, but what he taught, his content, the content of his teaching. My favorite place to see this is in John chapter 3. When Nicodemus is a member of the Jewish ruling council, he is a teacher himself, and he comes representing other Pharisees, and he says that he comes to Jesus and says, Rabbi, we know, catch this, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. It's acknowledging the content of Jesus, and he says, he wants some answers, and Jesus goes on to teach him about how to be born again. Jesus, his content was from God. It was from God because he was God. The word of God made flesh. And Jesus quotes the word of God. He uses the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament. In fact, he borrowed content from other ancient sources using old truth to teach a whole new truth about God, a whole new truth about sin, about repentance, about love and grace and eternal life and the kingdom of God. Jesus did teach eternal truth, holy truth, in challenging, practical, powerful, life-changing ways. And best of all, he lived perfectly. And he died on a cross. And he rose from the grave after 3 days to back up every single word of his teaching. But the true test of a teacher, the true test of a great teacher is in the results. The results of his students. And with Jesus, the results are in. Jesus is teaching. His students have changed history. Now, like a good teacher, his disciples at the time, they needed to be corrected. They needed to be taught. We can read about all that. He had to put their boots on like over and over and over again, only to find the mittens in the toes of the boots. But yet here we are. 2,000 years later, because of Jesus' followers. And Jesus' followers have changed history by learning and living what he teaches. For example, Jesus teaches that every human has value and to love and to care for others. So for centuries, Christ followers have begun or improved education, schools, hospitals, missions, orphanages, charity organizations. They have led the way in social reform and equal rights and more. And today, churches and organizations just like this one here at CCW, we strive to continue to teach what Jesus taught us. That's why we're a teaching church. That's why one of our core values is to teach biblical truth. We want you to know it, and we want you to get it here. And hopefully, maybe you are here because of a Christ follower living the teaching of Jesus. And speaking of results, this is kind of fun. I asked a question just a couple days ago on Facebook. I was looking for specific teachings of Jesus, words of Jesus, not random ideas that have changed people's lives and are still changing it today. So I asked this question: what is one teaching of Jesus, just one teaching of Jesus that has literally, personally changed your life? Could you answer that question? And the results are real. Like, this is not like Jesus still literally changing people's lives today. They're real, and they're very, very inspirational to me. And I wish I could just read all, I don't know, 70 plus of those answers to you this morning, but it's on Facebook. You can go ahead and check it out for yourself. And Tuesday on the spur of the moment, I asked our staff and just said, hey, how would you answer this question? What's one teaching that Jesus has given you that literally changed your life and continues to today? And just kind of off the cuff, around the table, they answered that question in very specific ways. Y'all need to know what an honor and a privilege it is to serve on this staff with these godly people. And they are where they are because of the teaching of Jesus. And they answered this question by quoting words and verses, saying that Jesus taught them how to pray, the Lord's Prayer, how to serve others, which is why they serve here, how to forgive others, even when it seems impossible, how to love unconditionally, how to have faith instead of fear, teachings of Jesus, not to worry, to live in the moment and not worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, how to have fun, how to give to others without expecting anything in return, all specific teachings of Jesus, results. And personally myself, I can stand here this morning and tell you that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who lived a perfect life and died on the cross and rose from the grave after 3 days, y'all. But even if that were not true, the teachings of Jesus have still changed my life for the better. Jesus' teachings are the reason that I'm still married. Jesus' teachings are the reason that I've been able to keep my jobs. Jesus' teachings are the reasons that our care, and I speak along with many, many of you today. He changes our character. He changes our families. He changes our lives. He changes the direction of who we are. And I can tell you that is because if you listen to and allow Jesus to formulate in your worldview and the way that you live, it is totally life-altering and life-changing. Can anyone here say that Jesus has literally, personally changed your life this morning? Can you say that today? Can you say that? Now look, I know y'all know what I'm talking about, because something somewhere at some time in your life has, you know, you've learned something that has changed your life, all right? So to kind of take a little right turn, think of one thing that you have learned in your life, one thing that you've learned in your life that just totally changed the direction of it, all right? And answer this question, all right? When I learned blank, it changed the direction of my life, all right? For some of you, it might have been computers or music or baking, or how to change a diaper, change my life, all right? Trains, you know, just when I learned about blank, it changed my life, okay? Now, I want you to, just for about 30 seconds, all right, share that answer with your neighbor, all right? I'll give you a little brain break, all right? One thing that when you learned about it, it changed the direction of your life. Go ahead and share with your neighbor. I'm going to get a quick drink. I got some cool stuff to share with you. Good. It's cool stuff. Look, we've all experienced teaching. We've all learned stuff that has literally like changed who we are, you know, in the direction of our life. And what I'm about to share with you for just a few minutes can change the direction of your life forever. The greatest teacher had what I believe is his greatest teaching. The greatest teaching of Jesus. And it's called the Sermon on the Mount. Now, all through this series, we've been moving through the life of Jesus to show you events that show that he is the King of Kings. Last week, we showed you a miracle of Jesus in John chapter 2, where he changed the water to wine. And ever since that miracle, Jesus now has been traveling all over Galilee, and he's into year number 2 of his public ministry. He's been teaching, he's been healing people, he's recruited his 12 disciples. And I want to tell you, Jesus was a rock star, okay, right now. Popular. He couldn't go anywhere without people wanting to get to know him or hear him or be with him. Which brings us to his most well-known teaching, this sermon that has shaped the world, or at least the religious world as we know it, more than any other in history. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I want you to turn there in your Bibles, okay? Just take a look at it. Look in your Bibles, find Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and just kind of start skimming through it, maybe on your phone or wherever you have it. And while you're doing that, I want to ask you to open up your sermon notes inside of your bulletins and pull these out, because on the back of your sermon notes is an outline of Jesus' greatest teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, all right? Take those out, take a look at them, all right? Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Seriously now. Y'all got to read this thing, all right? You got to get into this, study this thing. In fact, I want to challenge you today. Take 20 minutes, the 20 minutes that it takes to read these three chapters. Take 20 minutes a day this week and see how many times you can read it, all right? You can read it during the halftime of a football game, all right? 20 minutes, all right? Just read this thing. I promise you'll be glad you did. And as you do, maybe journal, maybe write down your thoughts or the questions that you have. It's only three chapters, all right? 20 minutes, read it. Get into this thing this week. Now, Jesus is preaching to perhaps thousands of people during this sermon. They have flocked to see him. Now, understand, these were poor people, people who have taken off work with no pay, no vacation pay or anything like that, no pay to travel, to camp out, to go hungry, even lose sleep to listen to Jesus teach. And what we have in Matthew 5 and 6 and 7 is a summary of the entire sermon that probably lasted for hours, okay? And Matthew here, Matthew records for us like the cliff notes. He's given us the highlights, the main ideas. So what we read here is King Jesus' purpose statement, the king giving his purpose statement to his kingdom people, how to think and act and live like their king. And this sermon will help anyone who takes its words seriously to be more like Jesus until we can be with Jesus in heaven. Totally shape our lives. This sermon requires, again, common sense, wisdom. So pray before and during as you're reading this. Just say prayer, because some of it is shocking. It's shocking. Some of it is radical. It's deep. It's practical. But if it is lived out, even one verse at a time, it is life-altering, life-changing. And what, I'm not going to read the whole thing today, but what I want you to do is just get hungry for this. Just get hungry like you're hungry for lunch right now, all right? And then go home and just eat it up. Let it soak in, just like the crowds did on that day. So to do that real quick, I want you to just kind of picture yourself, all right? Picture yourself on a mountainside. You've come a long way to hear Jesus. There's a good chance that you just fit right into the crowd, but he sees you. Jesus sees you, and you see him. And as Matthew says, when he saw the crowds, he sits down, just like a rabbi would, to show his authority, and he has your attention. You have his. Disciples come, and Jesus begins to teach you. Now remember, you're poor. You're hungry. You've probably suffered at some point in your life. You've lost someone that you loved. But you're curious. You're curious about Jesus. He's got a message that God loves you, and you need to hear these words. And he starts out with what are called the Beatitudes. They're blessings and promises, and they're just for you today. He says, blessed are you who are poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are you peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for you will be called the children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed. Blessed are you when people insult you, when people persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you in my name. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. He's just got the crowd right there. I mean, there's like, yeah, this was like a rallying cry, a pep talk. I mean, he's speaking right to you. And then he goes deeper. Verses 17 through 48 of chapter 5, he starts to teach about this new law of the heart against the works of the Old Testament. This was revolutionary. This was different than anything that had ever been preached before. Y'all need to know this. Jesus is teaching that God cares about what's inside of our hearts, what we're made of inside. He's teaching that God cares about that, the inside, more than the outside. This was totally different than they had been brought up with. You as an audience member would know that. You would know you've been brought up with the Jewish law, the Old Testament, and Jesus is teaching a new thing. He is introducing the truth that who we are matters more than what you do. And from now on, pleasing God was about a relationship with Him, not about religion, not about rules, not about an Old Testament point system, but about how much God loves you and you can love Him back. And this totally changes the game for everybody in the audience. Jesus says these words, "You have heard it said, but now I say." You have heard it said, but now I say. That'd be like me or Mr. Johnson standing up, you know, saying, "Hey, look, you know, you have heard it said 2 plus 2 equals 4, but now I say 2 plus 2 equals 5. What are you talking about? And Jesus just introduces these new thoughts, and it's just an amazing, amazing teaching. In fact, he says, "You have heard it said, do not murder." Of course. Jesus says in the heart, do not even be angry at someone in your heart. Verse 23 and 26 says to reconcile your differences. Verses 27, 30, it says, do not commit adultery. Do not cheat on your husband or your wife. Okay, got it. Jesus says, but I say, don't even look lustfully at someone else. It's the same thing. Whoa. Verse 30 and 31, he talks about divorce. Verse 33 through 37, about making false vows, you know, and yes be yes, and, you know, that kind of thing. And he talks about going the extra mile when serving somebody in the next few verses. And then he says to love your neighbor as yourself. Phenomenal. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yes. And then he says, love your enemies. What? What is he talking? Like, this is totally new. Remember now who you are and what you're hearing. In those days and time, you hated your enemies. You beat them down. You cast them out. If somebody crossed you, they were done, written off, on the blacklist. And Jesus saying, love your enemies and pray for them. Then he goes on, chapter 6, teaching about prayer and spiritual practices. He talks about giving generously and prayer. He talks about praying in secret. And then he gives us a world-famous teaching. Most of us know the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Whoa, 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 whoa. Time out. Time out, time out, time out. Did he just say our Father? We just say our Father. This was a totally new teaching. For this was a huge change. Again, radically different than any other teacher had ever taught. To consider God, Jehovah God, as a Father, this is personal. It's relational to pray to Him this way. Teachings of Jesus. And he talks about forgiveness, forgiving others. Again, this teaching alone saved my marriage. Forgive others if you want to be forgiven. He talks about fasting in verses 16 through 18. He goes on teaching about money and that you can't serve God and money at the same time. And talks about worry, worrying about life, not to worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to wear. It's crazy. In fact, he says, don't even worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will take care of itself. Instead, my favorite verse, this is my life verse, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Seek his kingdom first, and what you're going to eat, drink, wear, all those things, God will take care of it. And then he hits the home stretch, chapter 7. He starts talking about warnings and ways to live. He talks about judging others or not judging others in the first 6 verses. And he says things like, ask and it'll be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. And he gives us the golden rule. Y'all know the golden rule? All right, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Right, great statement. And the thing about the golden rule here, do unto others, is that it's not new teaching with Jesus. You might not have known that. This wasn't new with Jesus, but the way that he lived it out was absolutely new. This was called love in action. He put his life on the line. He literally loved others, and he called his followers to do the same thing. This wasn't just a proverb. He taught love in action, a new law for a new kingdom. A law, by the way, which they saw in living color as he gave his life on the cross for them and then rose again. He talks about the wide and the narrow gates in a great teaching, verses 13 and 14. He talks about wolves and sheep's clothing and good fruit and bad fruit and how to be obedient to God, verse 21 and 23. And then Jesus wraps the whole thing up. And a few weeks ago, I got to teach on this, but he's everyone who hears these words of mine, what words? Everything he has said up to this point. Everyone who hears these words of mine, this entire sermon, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, who does what I say, is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And the storms come and beat against that house, and it does not fall, stands, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine, just like you've been hearing, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man. If you don't do what I say, you're like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The storms come and beat against that house, and it falls with a great crash. Listen to my words and do what I say, and you live. If you listen to my words and don't do what I say, you die. Y'all, the audience that day would have been like, is he saying what I think he's saying? This is huge. The kind of teaching that Jesus is doing here made enemies out of some of his hearers. This is the kind of teaching that got Jesus killed. He is teaching that our lives and the religious system of the day, the house they had built on the old at least, and the eternal destiny of every single hearer at most was at stake by listening to and following his words. That your eternity depends on hearing and doing what Jesus says. These words of mine. Y'all, these are Messiah's words. Messiah words. These are King Jesus' words. What I just taught you. Listen to my words. Do what I say to do, and you will live. Do not do what I say to do, and you will die. Wise, foolish, live, die, listen, do. And Jesus drops the mic and the apple. When Jesus finished teaching these things, the crowd was amazed. Amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority. Not like their teachers of the law, amazed. Amazed, y'all. I hope that you are amazed at his teaching because he teaches with authority, the teaching of the King. teaching with God's authority, and he backed it up with his life and his death and rising from the grave to walk the earth. And now, here, on the other side of the cross and the empty tomb, Jesus has proven that he is the King of Kings. And his teaching over the last 2,000 years has stood the test of time and changed the world. And now, on this side again of the cross and empty tomb, we know, y'all, look, he can change your life too. His teaching can change each and every one of us because he is your greatest teacher. Jesus is your greatest teacher, whether you know this or not. So the question I have to ask you today is he or isn't he? Is Jesus your greatest teacher or not? If he is, learn from him. Learn from him and live for him. And this week, leave and sit at the feet of the King. Open your Bibles and read and fall in love with the words of the King. And don't just listen and read the words, but do what his words say to do. And as you do, be a student and be a teacher yourself. Maybe find someone to bring along with you as you learn. Maybe join a small group. I want to invite you to do that this week if you've never have. Maybe become come on Wednesday night, get involved with a table group as we study the book of Mark or one of our small groups. Be a learner and also be a leader. Be a leader. Maybe you could help out in our elementary department or our preschool department. Maybe help out with the kids, middle school, high school. Become a leader and a learner, a teacher and a student. And again, I just want to challenge you to read the Sermon on the Mount every day this week. Every day, there's a chance that it'll change your life. I know it will. And there's chances to lead and to learn everywhere around here. If you would, just again, in your sermon notes, just kind of write down one thing, maybe just one next step that you can make this week to learn or to lead, to be a student or a teacher. Write down one step that you will do this week. All right, maybe it is. Just read the Sermon on the Mount and write it down inside your next step. If you need help with that, our prayer team will be up here. We've got a next step station right out these doors. Visit us out there and we'll help you with whatever your next step would be. And let's learn. That's why we're here. That's why y'all come. Let's learn and let's live and let's commit our lives to the teaching of King Jesus together. Together. Let's stand together and have a word of prayer. And we're going to worship him. Father, you are amazing. We love you. Thank you for the word of God that comes alive through your Holy Spirit. God, thank you for the teachings of Jesus. God, I pray that as we leave today, God, that you would make those words come alive in our lives. It is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. And God, we know that the teaching of Jesus will revolutionize and change every bit of us from the inside out. And then from there can change our lives, our families, God, our community, God, our world. And I pray, God, as we leave today, we will do just that. We will fall in love and learn and live just as you have taught us to. Thank you. We will give you all of the praise, all of the glory, all of the honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.